I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. If you haven't tuned in before, you have found yourself a safe space if you're an independent thinker out there. Plenty to get to today. We're going to talk about some of the veto. The veto was overridden yesterday in the House of Representatives, one of Trump's vetoes of the National Defense Authorization Act. I'm going to talk about that, but there is one line in Trump's veto of the bill. I actually agree with his veto of it. These things probably should have been vetoed a long time ago for a multitude of reasons. But there was one line in the statement that he put out on his veto that got absolutely no attention that I can find anywhere else, but it smacked me straight across the face. And so we're going to take a look at it, and maybe somebody can answer me exactly what it meant. It's a pretty stunning, it's a stunning number. I'll put it that way. So anyway, we'll get to that in just a little bit. I'm going to start off today with some COVID stuff. It's just run across. I'm not a big social media guy, but I got to tell you, with memes, there's some genius meme makers out there. Some of these people who do videos for Twitter and YouTube, put things together in genius ways, are just so appreciated. They can do them in such succinct stuff. I've got a little two-minute video from a tweeter on asymptomatic spread that is just really, it's one of these things that may be able to get through to people. So anyway, we'll get to that in a second. I got my quotes of the day today. This one doesn't have much to do with the show today, but it's just one of my favorites of all time. It's Ron Paul, Republican congressman from Texas, Dr. Ron Paul, libertarian. Woke me up to an awful lot of things. He said, when I say cut taxes, I don't mean fiddle with the code. I mean abolish the income tax and the IRS and replace them with nothing. It's so strange that that is... That's an odd thought, isn't it? Most of you don't consider that as an option, although for the first 150 years of our existence, it was the way things were. But we have been convinced that it is an inevitability that we pay federal income taxes. Ron Paul, boy, we had an opportunity with him. Let it slide by. Another good quote here from Thomas Sowell. He said, "The welfare state is the oldest con game in the world. First, you take people's money away quietly, and then you give some of it back to them flamboyantly." And that's exactly what we're seeing right now with these coronavirus aid packages, these stimulus packages. And then there was one other one I can get to down here. Candace Owens put out a tweet. Candace Owens does do some good stuff. Don't agree with her on everything. But she definitely puts out some good stuff. I'm going to read this the way she wrote it. It's got a tiny bit of a nails on chalkboard vibe to it, but the sentiment that she's got is fantastic. She says, "It's pretty incredible to consider that right now governments are like, in order to keep you safe, we need you to impoverish you, imprison you, force mask and vaccinate you, plus separate you from your family. And there are millions of people out there that are just like, okay." And she's exactly right. It is absolutely stunning. I got into a conversation with somebody yesterday who was really upset with me that I oppose the new socialist programs that are rolling out of Washington, D.C. with the checks, and he was extremely angry with me. He said, "I guess you just don't understand what it's like. Oh, look, coronavirus has hurt me like it's hurt other people. I know people. It's just decimated the restaurant industry, which I have has a real soft spot in my heart due to my experience with them." But I just told the guy, "Look, I'm sorry." What he said was, "I guess you're not facing tomorrow morning having to buy insulin and not having any insulin for a child and not having any money in the bank." I said, "That's heartbreaking." I actually, of course, referred him to Dr. Jason Fung. I said, "If you've got a sick child, you might want to, if they've got type 2 diabetes, You might want to check him out. People do reverse the thing. I didn't say it condescendingly. I said, I'm serious. Heart breaks for you. That's tough to have a sick kid. But I said, maybe instead of being mad at me for not wanting to bankrupt this country as quickly as humanly possible, maybe you should be angry at the people that stripped you of your income. He didn't see it that way. He feels it's fine for the authorities to strip him of his incomes, place him into a place of complete desperation where he feels he can't even provide basic medical care for his child. But he's angry because we're not getting the checks fast enough and just completely glosses over the fact that people have stripped him of his way of life and put him in this precarious situation. It's quite a fascinating thing to watch. I'm not really sure. Have people always been unwilling to admit when they're wrong? And I don't just mean this particular person. I just mean a kind of across the spectrum now. I'm wondering if this is a new phenomenon. I'm learning so much. The more interested I get in psychology, particularly at a national level, politics, these kinds of things, I do realize things just don't change. Human beings don't really change. You'd think we'd evolve. We have at our fingertips now more information than ever. You would think with the technological advances, we would somehow be advancing intellectually, but we're actually regressing or at least standing pat. So I guess it's maybe always been this way, but it feels like it's gotten worse. You look at COVID and politics, climate change, vaccines. It doesn't matter what the issue is. People do not seem to be open to any new information because they think they might look dumb, I guess, if they admit that maybe they were wrong or they hadn't considered something. So is this just all ego-driven? The video I'm about to play, it's not the greatest audio, I will admit. I am somewhat limited in an audio-only format here, but it's still worth a play, and I'll have to narrate a tiny bit of it. It's only a two-minute clip. But this is 2 minutes that should really, really wake up a lot of people to the insanity of what we're going through with COVID restrictions. It's 2 minutes. It's very powerful. Combining health authorities in their own words, an incredibly sexy woman, not because of how she looks, but for the stand she takes out in public. And then written studies about how COVID is actually transmitted. It's 2 minutes long, and it should be like a battering ram against anybody who is just blindly accepting the ridiculous mask mandates, the lockdowns, the restrictions on travel, the idea that you shouldn't spend time with your loved ones during the holidays if you feel fine. This is 2 minutes that should really just break down the door of resistance to people who just refuse to admit that we have gone way overboard with this virus. Yet I know that it will bounce off people like bullets off of Superman because they've already invested their heart and soul into being scared of COVID and believing that those who are not scared of COVID and who try to move about society without a mask and without fear that they are somehow endangering everybody else. Everybody gets so invested. It's the same thing with if you're anti-Trump. You cannot see some of the things that Trump has done that have been good for this country and probably good for you yourself. Or if you are a loyal Trump supporter, you cannot see any of the downsides or some of the negative things or the not great, not America first things that Donald Trump's done. People just refuse to see these things, but I soldier on. When I come back, I'm going to play this clip. It's absolutely fantastic. I believe it's gone a little viral. I saw it early yesterday in one kind of obscure spot. I thought I would be breaking it here, but it seems to be making the rounds. When it's all said and done, if you want the link to it, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYEB.com, and I'll send it to you because I think this is something really that needs to go viral and should be shared. We'll do that when we come back. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
I didn't explain what was bad about the Candace Owens quote that I gave just a minute ago. Again, this is Candace Owens sent this out in a tweet. She said, it's pretty incredible to consider that right now governments are like, in order to keep you safe, we need to impoverish you, imprison you, force mask and vaccinate you, plus separate you from your family. And there are millions of people out there that are just like, okay. I love the sentiment. It's exactly right. It's what I struggle with every single day. But it's the use of the word like, particularly in a tweet. It was so easy to not use the term like in here. I resist this like that is used relentlessly. She could have said, it's pretty incredible to consider that right now governments are saying, and then she puts this in quotes, in order to keep you safe, blah, blah, blah. But she says, instead of saying, she says, are like, and then she says, and there are millions of people out there that are just like, okay. And she could have just said, and there are millions of people out there that just say, okay. It would have had exactly the same effect. I don't think the likes, maybe this is appealing to a younger crowd, I don't know. With my personal kids, when we would be driving in the car and we'd be talking, you know, when you get to have teenagers, you don't spend a whole lot of one-on-one time around the house. You're usually, this is pre-driver's license, you're usually driving them from place to place. And we would be talking. I really enjoyed talking with my kids, learning about their days and what was going on. But when they really started going and I started mentioning the likes fly, I wouldn't say a word. I'd be driving the car. I would just put my hand up in the air and I would put up a one when I heard a like and then a two. And it took a couple of times. What are you doing? I said, I'm just counting the number of times you say like. Quit doing that. But I just kept doing it. And it had somewhat of an effect. It made them very conscious of this idea of how many times they were saying like. And it became almost a joke and almost a challenge to them to try to get through a full story of explaining to me what went on in their school day or what's going on with their friend group without using the term like over and over and over again. I am probably, should I go back and listen to my shows, guilty of saying that at times myself. But if you watch an interview with a millennial or with a young person right now, and this was a little something of my generation. You remember the Valley Girls back in the 80s? They were like totally, you know, that whole thing. And maybe be where it got its start. But it is back with a vengeance. And you will hear like interjected in three or four times in a single sentence. Drives me absolutely crazy. But anyway, pet peeve. Not lost in the larger point. This is by somebody named Ian Lynn. This was sent out in a tweet. And I don't know if they created this thing, who created it. Whoever created it is a genius. And I hate to interrupt the beautiful Doors song, People Are Strange, that goes on behind this thing. It's more powerful if you're not having to listen to it described by a talk show host. It's more powerful to just watch it. It's 2 minutes and 9 seconds long. And as I say, this should kick in the door of people who are just hyper-vigilant, paranoid, accepting of lockdowns and mask mandates and everything. As I say, people have really gotten to the point where we will resist any facts that don't fit what we already believe. We make up our minds so fast like we know. We'll talk a little bit about the Nashville bombing today. I know a lot of people have made up their minds as to exactly what it was. We don't know. I'm open to any kind of conspiracy theory. I'm open to any malfeasance or trickery that they have pulled on us with the Nashville. But we don't know. So I just wait. I try to accumulate facts. And I am willing to go where the facts take me. But a lot of people just, they stake their position. They commit their entire ego to one political party or one candidate or the other. And refuse to be budged because suddenly that somehow questions their initial intelligence. If you get new facts in and that are contrary to what you believe and they are facts and you don't change your mind, that's what makes you stupid. Not being mistaken up front. I can't tell you how many mistakes I've made in my life, and I will make more today probably. This is a powerful video, so I'm going to have to kind of narrate it, as I say. I'm going to apologize up front for breaking in, but some of it requires some reading. So what you're going to hear is the health, air quotes here in the studio, authorities, our health, air quotes here in the studio, leaders, talking about asymptomatic spread. And then you're going to hear me break in, and I'm going to read you studies and who they're from about asymptomatic spread. And then you're going to hear this incredibly sexy woman. Not because of her looks. She looks like she's an attractive woman. I'm a little vertically challenged, and she seems very tall, so it's very unlikely that we would make it. But she's standing up for herself. We are living in a time where the sane among us are cast out as the insane. This is the topsy-turvy, bizarro world we're living in right now. But she stands up for herself in a store when people go after her for not wearing a mask. And when you think about that, even if you are out there right now and you believe the masks are the holy rag that saves us all from this evil plague, listen to your own health authorities, those that you worship at the altar of. Listen to the studies that are referenced in this tweet. And then listen to this woman and see if maybe she's not the sane one and the people demanding the mask on this healthy human being are not the insane ones.
Asymptomatic transmission has never been the driver of outbreaks.
Well, I'm not sick, and asymptomatic spread has been shown to be a myth, so why am I going to be treated like a sick person?
Okay, study in respiratory medicine. This is the 12th of May, 2020. Quote, 455 contacts were exposed to asymptomatic COVID-19 cases. None of them were infected. Should I read this again? This is study in respiratory medicine. The 12th of May, 2020, 455 contacts were exposed to asymptomatic COVID-19 cases. None of them were infected.
Masks should only be used by healthcare workers, caretakers, or by people who are sick with symptoms of fever and cough.
That was a spokesperson for the WHO, the World Health Organization. Now we go back to the woman in the store fighting for her rights, fighting for her own personal sanity, to one of these Karens who is castigating her. Looks like she's in a CVS or a Walgreens without a mask, and she is just defending herself as a healthy human being walking around without a mask. Again, you just heard from the WHO, you just heard from Anthony Fauci, and you just heard from a study that all said asymptomatic spread is not a thing.
I'm not going to. I'm a healthy person. I'm not crazy. This is like psychosis. For everyone to put all this stuff on their face when they're healthy is insanity.
All right, study in Nature. This is from the 20th of November, 2020, just about a little over a month ago. Quote, this is a study in Nature. November 20th, 2020, quote, there were no positive tests amongst 1,174 close contacts of asymptomatic cases. Again, study in Nature of November 20th, 2020, quote, there were no positive tests amongst 1,174 close contacts of asymptomatic cases.
From the data we have, it's...
This is the WHO, Dr. Maria Van Kerkhove. She's quite often on the WHO press conferences.
Still seems to be rare that an asymptomatic person actually transmits onward to a secondary individual.
Yeah. And you're willing to, like, yes, risk people's lives.
See, and again, this woman in the store claims that this healthy girl not wearing a mask in this drugstore is somehow risking people's lives, which is based on nothing. So what have we quoted now? We're up to about six different references between studies, the WHO two times, and Anthony Fauci one time, all saying asymptomatic spread is not a thing. And yet this woman believes that a healthy person not wearing a mask is somehow risking other people's lives.
No, I'm not risking anyone's lives because I'm healthy.
How do we know that you're healthy?
I'm fine. Look at me.
Do you understand that people...
Asymptomatic spread is not a thing. They've already shown there is no asymptomatic spread.
All right, study in JAMA. That's the Journal of the American Medical Association. This is from the 14th of December, 2020, just a few weeks ago. Quote, the asymptomatic, pre-symptomatic secondary attack rate is not statistically different from zero. Now, isn't this interesting? As we listen to endless streams of doctors and led by our own Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi, who I suppose is an MD, has he read the December 14th issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association that says the asymptomatic slash pre-symptomatic secondary attack rate is not statistically different from zero? From zero. Now, this is from December 14th, 2020. That's about a week and a half before Thomas Dobbs put out his little tweet where he said, "Be wary of the super spreader at your kitchen table this holiday." Meaning that anybody, and I believe he names your brother, your sister, your cousin, your parent, could be the silent super spreader, is what he tried to get you to look at your family members as. I guess he hasn't read the Journal of the American Medical Association, which again says the asymptomatic, pre-symptomatic, secondary attack rate is not statistically different from zero.
An epidemic is not driven by asymptomatic carriers.
There is no asymptomatic spread. I don't have symptoms. I'm fine. I'm not a carrier of disease. This is what I'm saying. They're treating us like we're diseased. You just said, how is it treating you like you're diseased? But then
wearing
you're telling
a mask
me how
is
you know.
Not an imposition.
It's wearing a mask is not an imposition. I love this one. I love when another human being tells you what is okay for you and what bothers you and what doesn't bother you. It's not an imposition. It's not for you, lady. But it might be for this, again, incredibly heroic, sexy woman who is standing up for her rights and battling these people back. And this woman, this unmasked woman, has got all of the facts on her side. And this Karen, who is castigating her for not wearing a mask, has zero science on her side. Zero.
To be careful with other people's health.
No, it's not just the mask.
This
it's
is the epicenter of
it's
the country.
It's the lockdowns. It's everything. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done.
Oh, all the other shoppers are all masked up and just can't believe it. So this poor girl, the only one that has any science on her side, that has any facts on her side, all the rest of the people in the store are staring at her like she's insane. Like she's the person standing in the middle of this store, waving her arms wildly, wearing no clothes and a tinfoil hat. They look at her with such condescension and such judgment. Oh, look at this whack job. Look at this whack job that won't wear the mask. And I am reading to you. This is what the brilliance of this 2 minute and 9 second. I'm stretching it out to about 7 minutes. Now, I understand that. It's a 2 minute and 9 second video of studies and these ridiculous health leaders telling us straight to our face. It doesn't change their recommendations. Anthony Fauci will tell you asymptomatic spread doesn't drive a virus, but he won't tell you that it's okay to not wear a mask. For some reason, he believes the mask on asymptomatic, healthy people. And you know what? Symptoms are pretty easy to, we've gone for most of our lives knowing when we have a symptom, right? It's not like a runny nose or a fever or a persistent cough. Those are things we all recognize in ourselves, right? So if you have that, you should probably stay at home. That's a good idea with any disease. Not even just COVID-19, any disease. I'll let this finish up.
If you do not have...
This is, again, this is the World Health Organization. If you do not have any respiratory symptoms...
Any respiratory symptoms such as fever, cough, or runny nose, you do not need to wear a medical mask like this one.
And they finish it with a quote that says, "It's no measure of health to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society." I can't even pronounce the name of who that quote came from. "It is no measure of health to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society." Meaning, if you are trying to fit in with this sick society, if you are trying to be one that is accepted into a society that has gone insane, that is not that is not to your benefit. That does not make you a good person. That makes you a lemming, a sheep. It has never been more accurate. I saw a great meme yesterday showing the evolution of man, you know, where you go from monkey to caveman to man standing straight up, and all of a sudden the man is hunching down, getting smaller, and then turns into a sheep with a mask on it. That's wildly accurate. Be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I swear, every time I do a show on COVID, and I've done many of them on these ridiculous restrictions and the lack of any scientific-based approach in all of these edicts from our petty little tyrants at every level, I always say, well, I think I've said everything. I'm not going to do it again. But I can't help it. I've got PTSD. And the problem is this is not going away. And I'm about to play a clip right now that is some tremendously bad news to hear. Look, I'm not for this vaccine. It may turn out to be the greatest medical advancement in all of human history in a new vaccine, but it's experimental at this point. It's been in human beings' bloodstreams for about 2.5 months. We have no idea the effects of it, and I've got a clip to that effect as well. But here's what here's a tweet from one of these nut jobs at the WHO. At least she's telling us the truth about this. You would kind of think this would be good. I'll explain why this is an absolutely horrific piece of news.
At the moment, I don't believe we have the evidence on any of the vaccines to be confident that it's going to prevent people from actually getting the infection and therefore being able to pass it on.
So if you can't hear that terrible audio, WHO, apparently they can't get a Zoom call together, but she says there's no evidence right now that this vaccine will stop the virus or stop the spread of the virus. See, they haven't really figured this out yet. And you know why they haven't figured it out yet? Because it hasn't been tested. It's a live experiment, the largest medical experiment ever done on the human race, rolling out right now. Now, you would think that this could be possibly good news, that people would go, well, look, okay, so why are you forcing us to get vaccinated? Why is everybody so look, it's not even showing that it's going to do anything. It's not going to stop the spread of this thing. It doesn't do anything, so why should I get vaccinated? That's not how they're going to use this thing. I agree with you if you come to that conclusion. Now, they'll sell it to you on the idea of, well, it protects you. Of course, this flips everything on its head of what we've been told for the last 9 months is that it's all of our responsibility to protect each other, right? You don't wear the mask for yourself. You wear it because you care about others, even though there's no science that shows that you're doing anything for anybody else by wearing a mask. But by them saying that this does not prevent the spread, that there's no evidence that the vaccine will prevent the spread, this will empower the authoritarians. This will be exactly what they need because, see, if it doesn't stop transmission, and they may force everyone to have it because they love us all so much and we're too stupid to protect ourselves. And unless people like Tate Reeves catches a clue at some point, they are going to keep us in the masks for years. I've already told you, I watched the language go from 2 weeks to slow the spread to 15 days to flatten the curve to 9 months of wait for the cure with the vaccine so we can get back to normal to getting back to some semblance of normal. Essentially telling us, oh, things will never be the same again. If you accept that, you are a weak, pathetic human being. You can go back to normal today if you want to. And I got to tell you, on the Tate Reeves thing, I don't have any power in Mississippi whatsoever. I get the airwaves. I can say what I want to say. But I would say that Tate Reeves has about 60 days to reverse course on his mask mandates. I'll send that tweet to Tate. His staff will see it and will ignore it. But I will have sent it. But I would say Tate Reeves has about 60 days to reverse course on mask mandates and any other restrictions curtailing our freedoms as individuals and businesses before we should be looking at a recall vote. Thomas Dobbs should either be fired or balanced, at least by a dissenting voice, immediately. But the science on masks, or lack thereof, is become so evident now, looking at the charts of outbreaks or hotspots or whatever you want to call them around this country that have had mask mandates in for months, have shuttered restaurants for months. If we seriously have a governor right now that cannot see that and refuses to grant to his citizens the freedom to mask up or not mask up, then I don't think he's fit to run the state of Mississippi any longer. There's got to be somebody better. Now, the problem is, if that, I don't know the chain of responsibility in Mississippi, should you recall a sitting governor? But if that leaves Delbert Hoseman to fill the governor's seat, then it should be a dual recall because both of them should be removed until they pledge to set us free. And what's amazing to me about this is that it's good politics in the state of Mississippi. Because what it does is it takes the people who are seriously worried about this, who tend to be a little more on the liberal side, I will admit, it allows them to continue to wear a mask. And there can businesses can cater to the mask crowd by demanding masks by their people, but it doesn't require everybody. The free market will solve this. And in red state Mississippi, a lot of people want to be free of the mask. So to Tate Reeves, it's good politics, number one. It would be great for Mississippi's economy going forward to become one of those states where a business can set up shop here, not fearing the medical mafia and the tyranny of their state and local governments to shut them down at their whim based on junk science at best. And it, apparently, and this is why, again, I'm so opposed to these bailout bills, because as much as I hate to see people hurting right now, we don't need a cash handout. We need to grow a set of balls to tell these petty tyrants no when they come try to strip us of our way of living, our ability to earn a living. That's what's really needed. And the only way you get that is when people get fed up enough, but trying to put these little checks in their pockets to make them sit down and shut up just means things like Gavin Newsom can continue to go on. Andrew Cuomo, the people of New York, God love them. I'm not somebody who hates everybody in California and hates everybody in New York like so many conservatives and Republicans do. They voted for it and they need to live with it. Look, it's very sad. There's very good people in New York and California. Yes, they have horrible leadership. But I don't hate them. There's a lot of good people trapped in these states for family purposes or work situations. I don't judge them for being in a state. I haven't voted for anybody who's made it into office for about 15 years. So I understand what it feels like to live in a country and in a state where you feel like you have no representation. But recall is the only language that these people understand to let them know we are serious, as far as I can tell. And if anybody knows the process for getting that done, you can certainly let me know, or I'll be researching it a little bit, and I may be starting to make the call for it. Again, I have a small voice here in Mississippi, but with enough people, start circulating that around social media, get it into some of the right hands, then maybe we'd see a backtracking on this thing. And I don't wish Tate Reeves may be one of the nicest guys in the world. Certainly has the potential to be a great governor, I'm sure. But if he will not set us free in a red state, will not give us the economic advantage of being one of the states that allows personal freedom and business freedom. If he will not do that over the next 60 days with all of this evidence, just that two-minute tweet video that I played just a few minutes ago should be enough to wake Tate Reeves up. If he is so obtuse that he cannot look at that or the results of mask mandates across the country and retrace his steps on this thing, and end the mask mandates and tell Thomas Dobbs, hey, little girl, sit down and be quiet for a little while. We've heard enough from you. If he can't do that, I do not believe he should be running the state of Mississippi for sure. You're right.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Well, you have just witnessed the shortest recall campaign in the history of politics. Mississippi, I had to look it up. I didn't come to the show thinking that, but just looking at the science, just looking at the stuff around masks and how baseless it is, really makes me question Tate Reeves' intellect, integrity. I don't know exactly what it is. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe we just need to look at just telling, because obviously he's continuing to add and drop county by county like he's got some kind of a Ouija board where he can play whack-a-mole with the virus, and yet we're besieged with the headlines that show places that have had mask mandates have had these big uprisings. We don't have any hospital beds. But apparently Mississippi does not have any recall provisions. So we have to think of something else to put pressure on these people. I know that Tate Reeves, I would just imagine, I'm just guessing, Tate Reeves has been incredibly successful during his life in the political game. I would imagine he has designs on other things, too. Governorships tend to lead to being senators to the U.S. and higher office. I would imagine he has aspirations to that, and people should start letting him know. I mean, I think you got to give the guy a break. He's not an epidemiologist. He's been relying on the hysterical Thomas Dobbs. But I think you should be put on notice. Hey, you got until, I mean, I'd say 60 days. That seems a little generous to me. Maybe the end of January to give Mississippians their freedom back. See, every mask mandate is essentially, it's a political way of saying, hey, dummies, you people are too stupid to do what's in your best interest. So we're going to make you do what we think is in your best interest. And I don't know if you've noticed, politicians, not real successful at getting things headed in the right direction. Maybe you like politicians. Maybe you are one of those people who believe that politicians and government bureaucrats are a special breed above us, much more smart, much more intellectual, much better to make decisions for our lives than we are. There may be some of you out there who actually believe that, but it's kind of funny because most people I know think that they are really smart people. They think they should make their own decisions. Fortunately, a lot of decisions from a lot of people, not me as a libertarian, but for a lot of people, it's like, I make the decision to follow every single rule that is given to me by a politician. No, I'm smarter than they are, and they're corrupt, but I agree to all of their rules because they've made the case, and I agree, I concur. So Tate Reeves has got a tremendous political opportunity to pull his butt out of the fire with this thing, give Mississippians their... Ron DeSantis, they're talking about... I've seen the word President Ron DeSantis bandied about right now, the governor of Florida, because he lifted all the restrictions. What he did was he imposed a bunch of restrictions, and then he started looking at the effects of these things to his small business community, to the mental health of his citizens, and he looked and saw how ineffective they were everywhere, and he lifted everything. He reversed himself. He might have been wrong on the front end, but I give him all the latitude in the world for that. Nobody knew what we were dealing with. There's a lot of room for people to have been wrong about coronavirus and how it transmits and how to protect people in March and April and maybe even into May. But by June, when we knew what we were dealing with, for the last 6 months, there has been no excuse for continuing the failed policies that just control people's lives and crush people financially and mentally, I will add. There's no excuse for it. So Ron DeSantis made this decision in Florida to change course. As he got more facts in, as I started the show off by saying, for some reason we live in a society now where new facts are of no use to us if they don't make us feel better about our prior decisions. Well, Ron DeSantis may be one of the few people, or maybe he just read the political tea leaves. He may just be a political animal. Either way, he set the people of Florida free, and they're doing just great. That may have to do with Florida being a warmer state and that their citizens are still getting vitamin D. He may be a beneficiary just of the latitude of his state. But regardless, he made a turn, and now they are using the term President Ron DeSantis. So Tate Reeves, if you seem to be kind of a political animal, if you have these aspirations to higher office, you might consider changing. Now, most other radio stations are what I refer to as WGOP. They have to carry water for the Delbert Hosemans, but I don't want Delbert Hoseman across the table from me here. I don't really care about currying favor. I'm not getting invited to any Republican cocktail parties, and I'm not bitter about that. The last thing I really want to do is spend any amount of time in a room full of politicians. Just kind of skeeves me out a little bit. So I can sit out on the outside and throw arrows because I have no vested interest in this thing. But it is time for Tate Reeves to change his mind about what he is doing. And the people have got to demand it. There's no other way that this is going to come about. And I started this out by playing that clip from the WHO saying, there's no evidence that this vaccine stops the transmission of COVID-19. We need to get out ahead of this. How long have we been hanging on thinking it was just about to be over? I'll admit I did back in the summer. For about 2 weeks in June, it felt like it was subsiding. I have to admit, they tricked me. But when it cranked back up in July, I knew this was going to be an ongoing problem. And they have moved the goalposts. There's a lot out there right now about Anthony Fauci admitting that he lied to us several times, but they were all good-natured, noble lies. Anthony Fauci lies about the mask, but it was a noble lie. He lies about herd immunity, but then he comes back and tells us the truth. But the first one was just a noble lie. But then they say, why don't you trust the authorities? Well, because I can't tell a noble lie from just a regular lie, because I'm just a simple man. And they are going to continue to move these goalposts. So we can either choose to get out ahead of this, whether it's on vaccines or masks or future lockdowns, or we can just continue to react to these things constantly. Oh my God, I can't believe another 6 months has gone by. This is the American way. React. Never proactive, always reactive. Tate Reeves need to be put on notice. I got one listener that's constantly emailing him. Kudos to him. Many more should join him. I'll be back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. I'm about to get into some of this stuff going on in Congress right now. The override of Trump's veto on the NDAA with a stunning statistic in Trump's veto that I haven't heard covered anywhere. And it's written in black and white. When I get to it, you'll understand why I'm so flabbergasted. I don't use that term often. Takes a lot to shock me when it comes to numbers in Washington, D.C. But this one was a shocker, and maybe somebody can explain it to me. Before I get to that stuff, though, a couple of things about COVID real quick in closing. One is we're being assaulted now with, we finally have gone over the 0.1% of people in the country have died from COVID. And so we're hearing this statistic. That's one out of every 1,000 people. This is the Mockingbird media. It's all over the place. You're going to be under a constant barrage of this stuff. Do you know it's one out of every 1,000 Americans have died of COVID? There's a couple of things about this. Number one, a lot of people have been said to be COVID deaths that died of gunshot wounds and heart attacks, but they died with COVID and have been classified. That has not been corrected. There may be people who died before we really knew the COVID, had tests for COVID that died of it. So there could be some of those, but I believe the vast majority of them, particularly with the financial incentives to hospitals to mark people as COVID patients, it's probably overstated. But even if you take their own numbers, it is still true that every year one in 100 Americans dies. What? Yep. It's about one in 100. It's around 3 million people in the U.S. die every year. They just die. I don't believe in the only thing in life that's certain are death and taxes. I believe it's just death. That's the only thing I'm pretty assured of. We do shed this mortal coil at some point. 3 million. So one in 100 Americans die every year. Can you imagine if they reported this every day? Oh, my God. You know, another 50,000 Americans died today. Every day, if they reported the diabetes numbers that way, I'm going to finish this year. I'm going to give you the statistics of other diseases and their mortality compared to COVID. I did that almost on a daily basis for a while, but to be honest with you, I got a little tired of it. Is it so patently obvious? But just remember that when they give you this one in a thousand Americans has died of this. Just remind everybody, well, 1 in 100 Americans die every single year. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me? Oh, hold on. There we go. You there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. Thanks.
Hey, Mike. This is Dave. How you doing today, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, I know you were talking about this last segment, but I tried to get in, but I was driving, so I couldn't. You're talking about the mask. I got a real funny mask story. Well, I say funny. It's kind of irritating.
Yeah. That's...
Major cable company. I won't mention any names, but I had a problem with my internet, so I had to go down to their store to get a new modem. And I'm a heart patient, medical issues. I can't wear a mask. Makes it hard to breathe. So I walk in the store without my mask. The lady greets me, no problem. She tells me to sit down until a service rep can help me. Service rep comes to help me, no problem. He walks off to do something. Guy in the next stall, service agent, says, "Sir, you got a mask?" I said, "I'm a medical patient. Makes it hard for me to breathe." He said, "Well, our store policy says that we have to wear a mask, so you're going to have to stand outside the store." I said, "Who are you to tell me?" So my agent comes back and says, "Hey, you're working with me. Don't worry about him. Come with me." Guess what he did? He put me outside. I had to stand in 43-degree weather waiting on this crap.
It's insane. I mean, people have lost their ever-loving minds over this stuff.
Yes, they have, and it just absolutely drove me nuts. I'm thinking, this is not the country that I grew up in, that I served in the U.S. Navy in. I didn't sign on for this bull crap.
Well, I'm telling you right now, look, I don't want to pile on the guy, but this is at the hands of Tate Reeves. Because I know I was walking through Kroger's just about a month ago with no mask on. Me and usually one other person that kind of winked at each other. I mean, we looked at each other and kind of smiled. Oh, there's one of us. But until he slapped the mask mandate back on Madison County, and suddenly I'm having to mask back up again. Those signs go up and down with the governor's dictate of each. And it's so funny. You know, I'm 1 mile away from Hinds County. I mean, it just is—it's ridiculous on its face. But that is at Tate Reeves' feet to to embolden and encourage these busybodies who enforce these rules.
Exactly right. They're just all paper lions, and they are exercising whatever power that Reeves gives them. Well, anyway, I just want to drop it on you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Hey,
great,
thanks so
show.
Much.
Keep up the good work.
Hey, man, I sure appreciate the call. Thank you. It's so sad that we have to deal with this stuff because I believe me, look. I've got a couple hours a day on the air. I've got a lot of time to explain things, but you don't have this in interpersonal communication. And I don't really want to get mad at anybody. because somebody else has been tricked. Look, I spend 2 hours a day coming in here and trying to tell you that you've been tricked by this two-party system. You've been tricked by these politicians. You've been tricked by the system itself. You've been tricked by the Federal Reserve. You've been tricked by all these things. So I've got a lot of sympathy because I was tricked too. And so even that busybody at the cable company, as annoying as he is, he's almost a victim. It's annoying, I know. Look, I would be angry if he popped up and started shouting this stuff too. My first instinct would be, oh my God, sit down and shut up. But the thing is when you're in that interpersonal time with somebody, you don't have 5 minutes to go. You know, I promise you, I have thought about printing out that study I did on masks that's on the NIH website that say masks not only are ineffective, but they're actually, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but it's pretty close to the quote. I read it so many times. Reservoirs, as soon as the mask gets moist, within the first few moments of having it on, it becomes a reservoir of virus and a conduit to transmission. I've thought about printing this up and putting it on index cards and keeping it in my back pocket just to hand to people. Except I know I would be essentially littering, as they would just take it, read it, crumple it up, throw it away, and just disregard the facts. So it is wildly. But again, we've got to start attacking this at, you know, cutting off the head of the snake. Tate Reeves is the head of the snake on the mask mandate. You don't like the masks? You can go around trying to fight it one person after another, each conversation, engaging with every store clerk who is annoying about it, or we can go straight to the top and say, get us out of this damn mask mandate. If Tate Reeves doesn't know mask mandates don't work by now, then he's an idiot. Or he has some other agenda involved in bossing people around and stripping them of their freedoms. It's one of the two. It is one of the two. There was another point I was going to make on COVID. One other thing that people were talking about is the 1 in 1,000 people died yesterday from COVID. And again, the quite quick response to that is, well, 1 in 100 Americans die every year. Certainly was another point I wanted to make on that, but I want to move on. I want to get to some of these, the veto override. The Senate is also now faced with this $2,000 check, and I guess it's true. I'm 53. They say if you live long enough, you see everything, and what I'm seeing with this $2,000 stimulus check, I never thought I would live to see, but here we are. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, so I guess if you live long enough, you see everything. 53 years, it has finally happened. Yesterday, the House voted to bump up the checks to the American people to $2,000 from 600 people at the behest of Donald Trump, the leader of the Republican Conservative Party. So the House has added, this is after Trump. I spent a lot of time, I'm not going to go back over it. I spent a lot of time taking on Donald Trump yesterday, signing the biggest welfare bill that the United States has ever seen. And it got more welfare, as the House passes this $2,000 bill. And this is just amazing. I did not think I would live long enough to watch Republicans cheer for the biggest welfare wealth transfer spending bill of all time. But all it took was one man to wipe away the facade of conservatism and the Constitution and all those pesky little things. And now the so-called conservatives will call the GOP senators who won't vote for a massive new round of welfare. They will call them rhinos to really tie a bow on this bizarro year where everything has been stood on its head. You cannot make this stuff up. And what's even more amazing is that I'm the one that people say is nuts. You know, you've heard the term fighting fire with fire. It's accurate if you've watched any of the footage of the firefighters out in California. They do burn lines to remove some of the kindling to these fires to set a demarcation line. So you actually fight the fires using fire. I had never heard fighting socialism with socialism before, but apparently that is our new tact. And here's what I'm seeing conservatives say, maybe what's rattling around in your head right now as you disagree with me because you're just going to twist yourself into all kinds of pretzels to figure out why Trump is right to bump up to $2,000 what the American people can have. Well, since they're just printing money and all the billionaires are getting it all, I might as well get mine as well. I understand that emotional reaction, but if you can allow for just some space for your intellect to kick in as well, why don't we stop them giving the monies to the billionaires instead of just accepting that as a fact and then demanding our little piece of the pie too? I want my check too. This is also just a scattershot approach and is driving the final nails in the United States financial coffin. And conservatives are cheering for it right now. They are waiting now. The Senate is yet to take up this bill to increase the amount from 600 to 2,000. But Republican senators in Georgia now are under pressure. They've supported it because they're up for re-election. They don't want to face the Georgia voters taking $1,400 out of their pockets. Now, what they could do is just stand up and say, hey, we're going to abolish the IRS and you're going to get to keep everything you earn. But that's too radical for a free country like the United States. Only that weirdo Mike Madison talks about the illegality and immorality of the federal income tax. But what a weak and pathetic excuse for Americans we have become when the conservatives, the Republicans, are cheering for the biggest welfare spending bill of all times. And it basically boils down to because we don't have the energy or the time or the intelligence to stop the looting by the banker and the political class, we're just going to destroy the entire country so that our kids have absolutely nothing. And I believe this thing is probably going to end up passing the Senate at this point because, well, you know, Trump. We've got a caller online. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, this is Joe. Just
yeah. Yeah, what you got?
I just had a question from Mike about, he was talking about the income tax.
Yeah, we're on the air right now. This is Mike.
Oh, hey, Mike. Sorry.
Yeah. That's all right.
So I agree with 99.9% of most of your viewpoints and what you say, but you did bring up federal income tax, and I guess sometimes it makes me question, not that I disagree with it, but what would be the replacement for infrastructure and the funding for that if
the,
that were to be the case?
The federal government takes in something around $2 to $2.5 trillion a year right now outside of personal income taxes. They were able to run the government. I don't know if you remember 2007. 2007, and I don't say that snidely. I say this just to kind of illustrate a point. In 2007, everything seemed to be humming along fine. The government was functioning fine. We were all going about our lives, and they did it on a budget of around $2.4 trillion. They've allowed this budget. So by that logic, if they would just run the government they ran in 2007 today, they wouldn't need to take a penny out of the pockets of the American people. And can you imagine? Can you imagine what the – it's almost $2 trillion I think they collect in personal income taxes. What would that $2 trillion do in the private economy for job creation and economic stimulus in it, just by allowing people to keep their own money? So they've got –
it would be outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just curious as to what would be, you know, like the – like I said, I agree with almost everything you say and have the same viewpoints as far as – a libertarian viewpoint on everything. Just ignorance or lack of knowledge on my part as far as I was like, well, what would happen as far as the infrastructure funding and, you know, roads and stuff like that? If like, where would that come from?
But, yeah. And yeah. That's the perfect question. I'm really glad you did that because I don't have time every time to, you know, to add every, but you're exactly, that's the thing that people think. They think that your personal income taxes are what runs this country, but it's not. You mentioned the roads. I think every gallon of gasoline, what is it, like 40 cents a gallon, something like that? I mean, there's state and there's federal taxes on gasoline. That is what pays for it. So it's a tax that basically says, hey, if you're going to get out here with your car on the roads, you're going to chip in a little bit for the maintenance of these roads. I'm okay with that. That's fine because I have a choice to get away from that if I want to. I can ride a bike. Right. I can move somewhere where I can walk to work. And you know what I mean? So it's voluntary.
So other tax revenues besides income, I guess, would be the what I was
corporate income taxes. Yeah. Corporate taxes are fine. User fees are fine. Tariffs are fine. We funded our government before using just tariffs, and now these get passed on in the cost of products to the American people. But you have a choice to buy those things. This idea that we wake up in the morning and sacrifice time with our loved ones, and many of us do jobs we don't even like, but we don't get to even earn a nickel of it ourselves until after lunch, is insane. By the time you stack all these taxes on top of it, anyway, that's the perfect question.
100% agree.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I'm really glad you asked. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks, man. Bye-bye. Yeah, so, okay, so, Matt, I really am sincerely just fantastic that he called, because this is the thing to remember. The government doesn't need your money. The government to operate a functioning United States government doesn't need your money, because if they had the government the size they had at 2007, they wouldn't need to collect a dime in individual income tax because they take in money from so many different sources. I mean, so many sources. But right now we're seeing, now maybe they do need to enact personal income taxes if you people out there want your check to go from, that you want a check at all is just insane to me. And I think there's a resignation that, well, the donor class and the political class is always going to get their payoffs. Didn't you see, Mike, that the 615 billionaires that are in the United States, well, it's now 640 billionaires because the upper tier class has gotten so much money. They've increased their net worth by $1 trillion this year. And that is essentially because of the hands of politicians in Washington, D.C. With Donald Trump's emergency order that the states and mayors have started running with and shutting down local businesses, people are shopping with Amazons. The Fed suppresses interest rates so low it spawns an artificial housing boom. The head honcho at Quicken Loans, I think I read his net worth has gone up this year from $7 billion to $40 billion. Did he make that on private industry? No, he didn't. He made it because you've got a Federal Reserve, which is tied to our federal government, and Donald Trump calling for low interest rates, and nobody in Congress doing a damn thing about it. They've suppressed interest rates. An artificial housing boom comes up. This guy makes, what, $33 billion this year. That's not capitalism. They may have the best loan program out there. I don't know anything about Quicken Loans. But he didn't make $33 billion this year because of his business savvy. He made it because the Federal Reserve is printing endless amounts of money to suppress interest rates. But this idea of fighting socialism with socialism, it's just beyond me. This January 6th, the Stop the Steal stuff. Look, I am all for, if you wanted me to go protest for sound, good elections, I'm down with that. But the idea that we're somehow saving the republic because we're keeping the socialists away and Joe Biden because we've got to keep Donald Trump, when Donald Trump just signed one of the biggest socialist spending programs I've ever seen. Well, not that I've ever seen, that's ever existed. I don't give him a pass on that. I know people hate it that I call attention to these things. I know. I'm going to compliment Donald Trump on the other side of the next break. So stick around. I judge him on his actions. I'm not in love with the man. But like I told the person yesterday, I got into a conversation with this stuff. He said, I guess you just haven't been hurt by this. You don't know what it's like to suffer income loss or any of these kinds of things. I said, that's absolutely not true. I've had a brutal 2020. I do things outside of the station that have been horribly affected. But it's not all about me. It's not about me. I've got kids I want to hand this country off to at some point. I got two 19-year-old children that don't have a say in this matter. And any of you out there who have got children under the age of about 25, by the time you get to around 30, you need to start carrying your weight too. You need to stop voting for these Republican socialist and Democrat socialist if you want to keep the country together. But for kids under 25, if you've got kids under 25 and you're excited about the fact you're about to loot the Treasury for $2,000 that they're going to have to pay for, everybody's all energized. We hate China. China's bad. We need to take on China. China's a threat to us. And then on the other side of your mouth, you say, hey, China, can we borrow a couple trillion dollars? We all want to get a $2,000 check. These dots don't connect to people. The fact that the United States has no money doesn't connect with people. The fact that the federal government takes $9,000 from the average taxpayer, but now they're going to pat themselves on the back for giving you $2,000 of it back, those dots don't connect with people. Do you not see the insanity of this? I know you love Donald Trump. But Donald Trump just held hands with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to pass the biggest welfare bill that we've ever seen. And they ain't taking out the foreign money either. Donald Trump's guy, Steven Mnuchin, is the one that negotiated this thing and put all that foreign aid in there. I don't give Trump a pass. Like, he didn't know what was going on. Maybe he didn't. But it's the Goldman Sachs banker that he hired to negotiate this bill. I have a feeling the banks are going to do quite well with this stimulus stuff. I'm going to read this stuff to you real quick, and then I'm going to move on. I'm going to compliment Trump in just a second, so hang in there with me. Listen to this. This is what the effect of these and ask yourself where we stand as a country right now. As I say, I'm not familiar with the term. Maybe people can educate me. Fighting socialism with socialism. As I watch the conservatives, the Republicans, you patriots and constitutionalists out there cheering for the biggest welfare bill ever. Listen to what our country has become. The Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Budget estimates that the bigger payments would raise disposable income in the first quarter to as much as 25% above pre-pandemic levels. The legislation would produce an additional 1.5% in GDP output. So now our entire economy, our personal income, it's already that our personal income in the United States is 25% of it comes from the federal government. Do you not understand that socialism? So don't give me this crap where you're trying to fend off Joe Biden and that crazy Kamala Harris because they're a bunch of socialists about to take over our country. They're already here. They got R's behind their names just like the D's. And you participating in it just thinking, I got to get mine. The billionaires are getting theirs. Quit being so weak and pathetic. And quit electing people who give the billionaires this money. Quit electing people who encourage the Federal Reserve to print endless reams of dollar bills to send to this billionaire class. Like I tell my kids, I don't want to hear you whining if you're not prepared to do anything about it. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I want you to watch what I do here. Now, this is like people might not recognize what this is. It might be hard for you to process. It's kind of like if you've got a, you know, if you got a fish in a fishbowl next to your desk. They can see the computer, but they don't know what it is. They can't identify it. You know, it's completely foreign to them. It's not within their scope of understanding. I'm going to do something that maybe people look at and they don't quite understand. I'm going to say something good about something Donald Trump did. See what I do there? When he does something that I think is bad for the country, I call it bad. And when he does something good for the country, I say that was good. Now, this is very odd. This is a concept. It's like I say, it's like a fish looking at a computer. Some people don't know what to make of that. Wait, I thought you hated Donald Trump and you loved Joe Biden. Of course not. That's how you're taught to think. So let me applaud Donald Trump for doing something. He vetoed the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Bill. Now, this is 4 years too late. Oh, look at there. I threw in another criticism. I just can't let him have this one, can I? It's just the facts, man. NDAA is loaded up with so much crap, including provisions that allow for the indefinite detention of American citizens without charges, without right to an attorney for an indefinite period of time. There's all kinds of unconstitutional things that have been put into this thing over the years, particularly after 9/11. But he vetoed it, and he vetoed it on a couple of different grounds. Now, I had a big blockbuster to report to you that I've been teasing during this show, and it's a little funny. Let me just tell you what it was. I was going to read his thing because it had a figure in his statement on this veto that I found absolutely stunning. And this is his letter to the House of Representatives. I'm returning without my approval, H.R. 6395, National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2021. Anyway, the second paragraph starts out with, no one has worked harder or approved more money for the military than I have, over $2 trillion. When this thing first came out, that figure was $62 trillion. I read it right off the thing. They have corrected it since then. But I looked at that and I thought, okay, now what? I mean, you got to feel like when the president of the United States puts out a, you know, something on whitehouse.gov, it's proofread pretty hard. And I thought, okay, maybe this is one of those things where they just tell us straight to our face some bad news. It said $62 trillion to the U.S. military, but he says over $2 trillion. So my big blockbuster is gone. They have obviously gone in and corrected that. Either that or they went, oops. Who put the real figure in here? Look, we have no idea what our government is spending on anything. Our government can't pass an audit. The Pentagon can't get anywhere close to passing an audit. They have estimated that the Pentagon has misplaced. They cannot account for spending somewhere between 8 and 21 trillion. That's with a T as in taco. They cannot account for 8 to 21 trillion dollars. The Pentagon cannot pass an audit. They just did an audit a couple of years ago, which they failed miserably. I believe the audit cost $1.6 billion of your tax dollars just to do the audit, and they couldn't pass it. So when I saw the $62 trillion, I didn't immediately think it was a typo. I thought, uh-oh, maybe they're being honest with us. We have no idea what they're spending on the military. But Donald Trump stopped this thing for several reasons. You know, one was renaming some of the bases, taking some of the Confederate names off of bases he had a problem with. He had a problem with not repealing the Section 230 protections for Silicon Valley. I applaud him in that. Well, I'm going to do something else here that people aren't familiar with. Watch what I do here. I've kind of changed my mind on that. Yeah, as I researched it a little bit more, when they first talked about getting rid of the 230 protections, I do realize this will mean less free speech, and you should realize that too. It's being abused by the tech companies, so I understand why people want to get rid of it, and maybe that's the best move. But when you make websites liable, any tech company liable for things that are put on their website, they are going to censor just about everything. But right now, they're just only censoring the right. So they kind of brought this on themselves. Maybe there is some other protection they can give people. And as soon as you censor, like Twitter and Facebook and Google and YouTube and all the, as soon as you censor that way, then you lose it. I'm for that now. And I was against it when it first came out because I know it will lead to less free speech on those platforms, but that was before they started censoring everything on these platforms. So I might have been, are you ready for this one? I'm going to go for the hat trick here. I've gone from criticizing to complimenting Donald Trump. I just admitted that I changed my mind when I researched something, and I'm going to say this too. I might have been wrong on my initial impression of Section 230. See, that's the hat trick. The hat trick of the lost art of the American thinker who is willing to judge things as the facts come in. Anyway, and then the other thing was, and the most important thing, and the most reason that I really applaud Donald Trump for vetoing this National Defense Authorization is the fact that it really hamstrung a president from bringing our troops home. I don't believe Donald Trump has made the effort he's led us to believe to bring troops home, but he has done better than other presidents. There are still 60,000 troops in the Middle East, the last figure number that I saw. These are across, you know, this is Saudi Arabia, this is Israel, this is Libya, Yemen. I mean, we've got people all over the place. The drawing down of 2,500 troops in Afghanistan, that's great. Fantastic. That's 25 human souls we can bring back to lead productive lives and not sacrifice at the altar of the warmongers. But it's not good enough for me. When I hear a president say, we're going to get out of the Middle East, we shouldn't be over there in the first place, that's kind of what I took to mean we're going to get out of the Middle East. Taking 2,500 out of 60,000 is not getting out of the Middle East. It's drawing down a few people. Still, great credit to Donald Trump. He's at least reversed that in the past couple of years. Originally, the first couple of years of Trump's administration, 20,000 more troops went to the Middle East. He has reversed that. See, I didn't like it when he added troops to the Middle East. I do like it when he starts going the other way. The NDAA tied his hands on some of those things. That was another reason. He had a lot of good reasons to veto this bill. I applaud Donald Trump for vetoing this bill. Now, they're overriding that veto. They've already done it in the House. And a lot of Republicans are with him, and I'll explain to you a few of the Republicans that voted to override Trump's veto. First, we're going to hear from Matt Gaetz, who knocks it out of the park on this one.
I oppose the NDAA not because I'm against our troops, but because I love them so much.
Amen, brother.
America's fighting men and women are so precious that they should not have to die in some failed state, some faraway land that most Americans can't even point to on a map, so that defense contractors can extend our involvement in these wars, so that lobbyists can get rich, and so that members of Congress can get reelected.
Preach!
This good bill has been hijacked by the forever war lobby
and
their bought and paid for allies in the United States Congress.
Amen.
It puts barriers in the way of an administration that wants to bring our troops home and put America first. This legislation has become too swampy. It does good things to ensure that America can vanquish any foe on the battlefield, but we should only fight when that fight is just and proper. We have spent two decades trading the same villages back and forth in Afghanistan, and I believe that the administration that leads our country should work to bring those troops home. And unfortunately, this bill does exactly the opposite. From Afghanistan, from Germany, and elsewhere, I'm going to put America first, and I'm voting against this bill. I yield back.
Maybe the best speech I've ever heard Matt Gaetz give. He is on the right side of a whole lot of issues. Matt Gaetz is one of the better guys, congressman from Florida. And he certainly knocks it out of the park with that one. Now, I did just take a couple of clicks over to the roll call on that vote to find out how did our Mississippi representatives vote on this thing. And it turns out Michael Guest voted to override Trump's veto. Now, he will tell you he just wants to fund the troops because they love to hide behind supporting the troops. As soon as they bring up troops or national security, you're supposed to snap to attention, put your hand on your heart, or do a salute, and open up the checkbook. No money, amount of money is too much to spend on the troops. Of course, it's not going actually to the troops. It's going to the defense contractors. I actually just got a heads up on a story about Raytheon in Yemen, the amount of money and the lobbying that they've done to make sure that the bombs keep falling in Yemen. Can you find Yemen on a map? Have you ever heard of Yemen? It's a country. Most people haven't even heard of Yemen. You certainly have never been scared of Yemen, but we've been dropping very costly Raytheon bombs on them now for about 7 years, thanks to Barack Obama and Donald Trump. But Michael Guest, he voted to override Trump's veto. So did Stephen Palazzo. So did Benny Thompson. And so did Trent Kelly. They all voted to hamstring the president from bringing the troops home. They all voted to override Trump's veto on this bill. Now, this is going to go to the Senate, and I think we can guess where Roger Wicker and Cindy Hyde-Smith will go on this, because they are, like the rest of the establishment, beholden to the war profiteers. But maybe they will surprise us. I will follow the vote as we see if they override the veto, but I don't expect, and I'm always ready to be surprised. Look, here we go again. I'm ready to be wrong. And if I find out that Cindy Hyde-Smith and Roger Wicker allowed the supported Trump's veto of this bill, then I will come on air and say, hey, they surprised me. I was wrong. They were on the right side of this issue, but I will wait and see. Anyway, I think it's good to know how your Mississippi reps voted on this particular thing, because this was a good veto by Donald Trump. I wish he had done it for the last 4 years and stopped and stripped out a lot of things out of this NDAA. There's many more problems with it than just the things he pointed out. There's a whole lot of things, if you're a constitutionalist, you should not like about the NDAA. But this is a good start. Kudos to Donald Trump. See how I did? Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, final few moments of the show today. As I give you a piece of advice, don't sell your political soul and fight socialism with socialism. I'll also give you even a better piece of advice. If you need an attorney, then we encourage you to go check out Danks, Miller, and Corey if you need something. If your freedom is at risk, if your finances are at risk, if you have any legal issues that you need handled business-wise, then you're not going to find a better law firm and a more experienced law firm. Over 100 years of experience within this firm, great partners there. Former Mayor Dale Danks, part of this group, but they handle it. You can go to their website, danksmillercorey.com. DanksMillerCorey.com. You can see all the different areas that they specialize in. They're a very diversified firm with a lot of experience in several different areas. So if you need an attorney, do not. I know Cousin Eddie just graduated from law school a couple of years ago and he needs the business. Well, if it's important to you, get it done by good, experienced attorneys. That is a mistake you do not want to make by going to somebody that doesn't have the experience and know-how that these people do. Anyway, that's Danks, Miller, and Corey. Again, their website, danksmillercorey.com. You can see all of their different specialties there. You can call them at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, and find out what they can do for you if you are in need of an attorney. For those of us who have ever made mistakes in the attorneys you hire, it's one that you will live with for a long, long time. Don't do that. Tomorrow's my health show. I'm very excited about tomorrow's show. I'm going to have kind of a one theme running through the whole thing. And as we head into the new year, I'm going to focus on sugar addiction. If you do one thing for yourself in 2021, cut down or mostly eliminate sugar, you would just be amazed at how your health blossoms. I give a ton of different things about different ways to heal different conditions. This is kind of a catch-all. Get a lot of the sugar out there. It doesn't mean denying yourself everything sweet. You can still do it and fully enjoy your life, but I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. And it turns out that my little health show should go viral for military readiness purposes. There's a story out. The headline is, military recruiting crisis looms with youth too flabby to defend nation. They're finding that our recruits, what they're trying to recruit, are just so poorly out of shape, so obese and overweight, our younger generations, that they just can't find suitable soldiers. This goes on to also include things like drug addiction and criminal records. I tell you, people, this is the signs of a declining empire. But I want to do my part for military readiness to defend this country, not to send. I'm not going to do my show to turn a bunch of our youth into fit, healthy human beings to send them halfway around the world. To be honest with you, I'd rather them be flabby on the couch playing video games here. But I will offer my assistance in military readiness by creating good, strong, healthy soldiers for defending the United States, something we have not done in quite a while. But anyway, kind of a sad state of affairs when we can't even recruit sufficiently because of the physical health of this country. And, you know, that goes back to Corona, if I can tie a bow on this show. You ever stop and wonder when they talk about how America is only 5% of the population, but 20% of the cases or whatever statistics they're using these days? They sound like Charlie Brown's mom to me at this point. Wah, 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 wah. But could it possibly be that the United States is just a more vulnerable population because we are so sick? And we're turning to the same medical authorities to advise us to get through a pandemic, the same medical authorities that have not lifted a finger to educate people about nutrition and supplements and things as simple as vitamin D for all these years. They haven't said a word about that. You know why? Because they were making massive amounts of money off of us being really sick. Well, now it turns out that being vulnerable and sick kind of leaves you weak in the face of a new virus, huh? And still, they don't talk about vitamin D. Pretty amazing. Continuing to look to these authorities at the federal level, at the state level, as they have turned a blind eye and done nothing about the health crisis when it comes to diabetes or any of the disease, heart disease, cancers. Basically done nothing that has addressed these things, particularly nothing easy nutrition-wise. You can do more for your health tomorrow between 10 and 11 o'clock listening to me tell you how to get rid of your sugar addiction and the benefits of at least reducing your sugar levels. You do more for your health there than listening to the experts for the last 30 years. And it's not because I'm a genius, because most of what I'm going to do tomorrow is all clips from other doctors talking about the bad effects of too much sugar in our diets. It's not me. But, I mean, good Lord, somebody's got to put it all in a package and present it to people, because the health authorities who have led us for the last 30, 40 years certainly haven't done it. But, again, they've made massive amounts of money. I guess you got to do what you got to do to get that vacation home. Am I right? All right, that's about all the time I've got today. Tune in tomorrow. You can also get the show on podcast. If you ever miss it, you can go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or you can get it on Apple Podcasts there every day. Thanks so much. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.